Good evening. As the chairman of the Pastoral Search Committee, I was the collective voice for a team of members tasked with recruiting a senior pastor for Samuel Park Baptist Church. Our committee members were Linda Seba, Michelle Klein, Terry Roddick, Bill Hodge, Sean Andres, and myself. We commenced this journey mid-March 2018, formulating, strategizing, and executing the steps of our plan, prayerfully and ever mindful of the needs and concerns of our congregation as we move forward. The committee, after careful review of resumes submitted and interviews conducted, came to a God-led and unanimous candidate decision. On Sunday, January the 6th, we were pleased to introduce Chris Stephanidis to the membership as our senior pastor recommendation for their consideration. On January the 14th, a vote was held, returning with great membership acceptance and support for Chris. With a warm welcome to Chris and his family, our pastoral relationship began in April of this year. This induction evening, I am honored and pleased to introduce our pastor, Reverend Chris Stephanidis.
It's a privilege, Chris, to actually be here tonight as moderator of the association and to witness this exchange of commitments to one another as you and Centennial Park commit yourselves to one another. We are met here together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the head of the church, to commission Reverend Chris Stephanidis into the pastoral ministry of Centennial Park Baptist Church, Grimsby. And since Chris is already standing here, that's great. Chris, it is our belief that the calling into Christian ministry and this particular service within it is both of God and the church. It is inward leading and outward calling, answering to one another. Are you persuaded that you are truly called to this particular ministry to seek to fulfill the purposes of God among the people of Centennial Park Baptist Church?
I am so persuaded.
People of Centennial Park Baptist Church, are you persuaded that Chris Stephanidis is the person whom God has brought at this time and into this place to be a pastor among you and a leader in your ministry? Will you please indicate your positive response by standing? Because you, Chris Stephanidis, and you, the people of Centennial Park Baptist Church, are the ones who are entering into covenant together through the giving of yourselves to the shared ministry, I would invite you at this time to exchange commitments with one another in the presence of God and these witnesses.
I believe that you are the people of God among whom I am called of God to live, to serve as pastor, and to lead into shared ministry. It is in this belief that I now affirm my acceptance of your invitation. In accepting your invitation, I offer to you this commitment. With God's help and to the best of my abilities, I will seek to be a faithful pastor among you. I will share with you those gifts which God has entrusted to me. I shall strive to lead you, teach you, and equip you for ministry. I shall preach God's word faithfully in your midst. I shall offer to God our prayers and administer Christ's ordinances on your behalf. I shall love you and have faith in you. I shall become one among you as we strive to minister in Christ's name to this community and to the world which lies both within and outside the walls of our church. I shall seek to lead by example with God as my strength, Jesus Christ as my example, and the Holy Spirit as my guide.
We who are here as friends and as followers of the same Jesus Christ bear witness to your responses and commitments to each other. As an expression of our testimony to declare our joy and confidence in your coming together for ministry and to commit ourselves to supporting you in the mission we share, we rise and stand with you. Chris Stephanidis, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, on behalf of the Niagara-Hamilton Association of Baptist Churches, and with the authority given to me by this congregation, I declare you the pastor of this church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, we pray. Amen. Since no one person or group of people is sufficient for commitments made today, let us call upon God in prayer. And I would ask that Carrie would join us. And any of the visiting pastors, if you would join and lay hands on Chris and Carrie. I'm going to grab the mic. Come and we'll lay hands. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, you are the Almighty, and you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. And Father, the commitments that made tonight cannot be upheld without you, and without your Holy Spirit working within the lives of all who are involved, within the life of Chris, and with the life of this congregation, O Lord, and in the life of Carrie and his children that are present here today, O Lord. Father, we ask, first of all, a blessing upon this congregation, O Lord, that you will use Chris and Carrie and the family to bless them. But Father, we would also pray that you would use this church family to bless Chris and Carrie and again their children, Father. And that together they will all be a great blessing here in this town of Grimsby, Father, where people as all over this world need the Lord. And Father, may they be willing to teach and share and lift each other up and lift up this town to you, O Lord God. And may you use this church and its leader, Chris, O Lord, to bring the gospel message to Grimsby, Father. Father, again, we pray your blessing upon this commitment that has been made tonight. May your Spirit take charge, O Lord, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen and amen.
That's so wonderful. Let's reaffirm our commitment to each other and to God and to this place, to this community, as we sing together a song of commitment. Take my life and let it be.
So someone was asking me, what's an induction like? And I said, really, for a pastor, it's great, because I don't have to do anything. Really, I just kind of sit back and enjoy everything, which is kind of a nice change for me. But I did want to introduce, and I wanted to let you know, this is a privilege for me to introduce Brad Peters. For those who don't know, when I first started out at First Baptist Church in Thorold, we had no young families. It really didn't look like we were going to have a great ministry there together. And the young families we did had left as soon as I got there. It was like they were so exhausted by the church just getting a pastor there that once they showed up, they're like, oh, good, now we can leave. And so they left. And I remember me and Carrie praying, and we said, well, God will provide. And he did. The first young family to show up was Brad and Michelle. And they had had two young kids, close to our kids' age at the time. And for some reason, they decided to go to church there. And if it wasn't for, and I've said this to Brad, but so you need to know this, if it wasn't for Brad and Michelle and that family, I don't think I would have made it through the first 2 or 3 years, for sure, at that church. You couldn't have asked for any group more supportive. Any new crazy thing we tried, they would get behind it. They would support us. And it was through that process that Brad really started to feel a call in his own life to get into full-time ministry. And so it was a privilege that our church got to be a part of that process as he got called into full-time ministry. And now Brad is currently serving Jesus Christ at Murray Street Baptist Church in Peterborough, Ontario, which meant he drove almost 4 hours to come be here tonight for me when I asked him would he consider speaking at my induction. So I'm really grateful to him. And so I want to introduce him. This is Brad Peters. And if you'd like to meet his wife, please make sure you do after Michelle Peters. She's here as well. But I'd ask Brad to come up at this point. Be honest, but not too honest.
So as Chris shared, it is a bit of a drive from Peterborough. So I will be selling interesting stories about Chris after the induction service. All the ones that he doesn't want me to share. They are available for sale. So that's what he just whispered to me on the way up. He said, don't be honest, but don't be too honest. I'd like to share not an embarrassing story about Chris. Although, as you know, there's no shortage of those. I want to share tonight that I'm a little envious this evening. Because this moment, and our gathering here together tonight, this is a great moment in the community of faith. This time, this ritual of induction, this is the stuff of church membership. Now, this isn't the work of the church, and I know if you're church folks, you know that, and you know the difference. But it's one of those benefits of belonging to the church, not just attending, not just showing up every once in a while, but belonging to the church. When this is home for you, when you have invited a new family into yours, this is a special time. This is an important time. This has that sweet of aroma of liturgy and tradition being baked in the heat of possibility. And one of the things that is most exciting and enticing about that possibility is that it contains that wonderful mix of the certain and the uncertain. and getting that right combination of ingredients, of certainty and uncertainty, that is the work of the church. And this is the water in which we swim as Jesus' people. This is where we follow, because we are people of the now and the not yet. We are people of the kingdom of earth and of the kingdom of heaven. We walk on both sides right now. We are people of faith, and we are people of reason, because ours is a reasonable faith. So this is a good time and place for us. So then we recognize that as the Centennial Park community, you too have certainties and uncertainties to balance. And friends, we are praying for you, because you have chosen, by God's leading, to invite and to inject the Reverend Chris Stefanidis into the middle of your pursuit of balance. And you do so at a critical time in the life of the church. And when I say that, I don't just mean Centennial Park, Grimsby. I mean the church. This is a crucial time in the life of all of us who follow Jesus, because we are facing change as never before. And we are a people defined by change as people who follow Christ. Change is just part of who we are. From the first book of our Bible to the last book, a theme is change. But these are unprecedented days. This is unprecedented time for us who are in the church. So let's discuss some of these uncertainties that you've invited into your home. So let's discuss some of the uncertainties surrounding Chris. You will find yourself, before I do that, I'm just going to share. I'll stand here, it's better. I've known Chris for 17 years, as he shared. And when Chris said that we were up for trying some crazy stuff, we tried some crazy stuff. And it was good stuff, because Jesus was always right in the middle of it. He was in the middle of it, he was leading it, and he was mopping up after us. And it was always Christ. It was always there. So I've known Chris first as pastor and friend and brother. And I'm so very honored. I'm not a crier. My wife will tell you otherwise. I cried a little bit when Chris called and asked if I'd speak tonight, because this is important. Knowing that, sharing all that, you will find yourself, Centennial Park. Please hear this clearly. If you remember nothing else that I share with you tonight, remember this. You will find yourself, if you haven't already, asking yourself, what have we done? You couldn't see, but they nodded. My friends, I assure you that if you haven't done so already, you will at some point, and at some point very soon, you're going to ask yourself, or you're going to turn to one of your good church friends, and you're going to say, did he really just say that? And then you're going to say it another time, is he really suggesting that we do that? And the answer will be yes, he really did just say that thing. And yes, he really did just propose that you do that thing. And at first, you will feel uncertain, and you will feel unsure. Because that's what new relationships are like. You will feel that. But now here's a few certainties about Chris. God has given you, in Chris, a pastor who just doesn't think and process like normal, regular people. And there are two things that you need to remember from that statement. And the first is this. God has given Chris and his family to you. I challenge you, friends, accept that gift and protect that gift like the precious one that it is, because I promise you that time will reveal that it is both just that precious and that wonderful. So God has given this family to you. That's the first thing. Second thing, and I know that your search committee has done a lot of work, and I know that you as the Centennial Park community, you have done the prayer work, the work of the community of faith. I know this, But at the end of the day, your pastor is always the provision of God for days and ministry challenges in days such as these. If God is who we say that he is, and he is, God ordained Chris to be your pastor long before you knew of each other. Hold fast to that truth, because you'll need to. Chris, hold fast to that truth, because you will need to. You need to remember these things, because there will be days when you go back to those questions, those uncertainties, beginning with, what have we done? You will go there. I promise you that you will. You will go there. The other thing to keep in your minds and in your hearts is why your pastor, Chris, just doesn't think and act like anybody else. Part of this I've come to learn over the years. It's a combination of life experience. If you've met his wonderful parents, you'll soon learn this as well. Part of it is life experience, part of it is genetics, and part of it is Chris's education. But the other part, my favorite part, is a little more special. And I know this from years of friendship and from gratefully sitting under Chris's leadership and mentorship. And I know that the difference in his thinking and his approach, it's intentional. He strives to think differently and to act differently and to live differently because he knows that this is the life that Jesus led. And Chris wants to model his life on that. Chris knows that people responded to Jesus because he approached everything differently. Everything Jesus said and did was designed and offered to reveal the kingdom of God to any and all who would listen. Chris takes this seriously because he takes Jesus seriously. Now, for Centennial Park, this is both good news and bad news for you, depending on how seriously you take the Lord Jesus in your life. If you recognize Christ as Lord in the fullness of what that title, Christ and Lord, mean, this will be good news for you. This will be very good news for you, because in Chris, you will find a pastor, you will find a friend on the journey, and you will find a brother. But if you are interested only in Christ in a peripheral way, in a church for an hour on Sunday mornings kind of way, and that's it, in Chris Stephanidis, you will also find a pastor, a friend on the journey, and a brother. But for both categories of people, serious Christ followers and not so serious about your faith followers, Chris just does not know how to let you stay in your comfort zone. It's just not in his makeup. It's just not part of his DNA. So know this, on whichever one of those two categories you put yourself in, you will be challenged. And you will be challenged in the very best of ways if you're in either of those categories. You will either love and embrace the challenge, or you will find a place where it is not expected that you will grow closer to the Lord through shared ministry. Either way, the choice will be yours. Either way, your pastor will challenge you with the heart of Christ from a place of love and discipleship, because this is just who he is. So because all that is true, because I believe absolutely in the sovereignty of our God, I am convinced that in this season of change that the entire church is living through right now, and that we try to navigate, I know, Centennial Park, that you are in good hands. And not just because of your new pastor, but because the power of God's word gives us a template for navigating difficult days like these. As I shared from that reading from Acts 1, and I've been thinking an awful lot about change lately, and I suspect that if you're remotely involved in ministry in any kind of capacity, this is something that you've been praying through as well, that you've been wrestling through. What does it look like to be Jesus' people in this day and age? How do we address the challenges where we don't compromise who we're called to be, but in a way that is open to people outside of our communities? I know that you wrestle with this. take heart in the fact that this struggle, this wrestling is nothing new. The church has struggled with this, as we just heard from Acts 1, from almost day one. We follow a long line of strugglers. We have a template for navigating it. This change that we're experiencing, the change that the early church experienced, it was a direct result and a systematic change in the order of things. It was a change orchestrated and initiated by the very acts of God. So it's appropriate that we find the template then in the book of Acts. And I hope this comes as a surprise to no one, but the first and the best response to change of any kind, of any sort, whether it be individual change, family change, church change, whatever, the first best response is always prayer. I'm going to go back to our reading and turn to verse 14. And if you have Bibles around, this is just from Acts 1. Verse 14 reads, "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." This whole chapter in Acts, really the entirety of the book of Acts, hinges on changes. Changes that God initiated, changes the culture initiated, changes within the family of believers. It all hinges on change. And first, the major change. Jesus, the risen Lord, in the verses immediate to where I began, you know the story. Jesus ascends and he leaves. So as change goes, this is amongst the biggest changes that can happen because we have the leader of the movement leaving. Change number two, the departing Jesus promises a new presence of power and comfort for his family, for his followers, the Holy Spirit. And change number three, and we'll talk about this one again in just a moment or two, but change three is this. A major part of the team has betrayed the cause, has betrayed the Lord, and taken his own life. So what's the impact of all of that change? That's a huge template of things to drop on any group of people. And what was the impact of that? This group of Jesus followers, these men and women, they've had the foundations of their belief system shaken, and shaken badly. And what's their response? Did they get online and write a blog about how Christianity is dying and how Jesus has let them down? No. Did they try to find an agent and to find the first century Palestinian version of the Dr. Phil show to air their beefs and let everybody know how things went so poorly? No. What do? They separate themselves for a time from the demands of day-to-day life, and they devote themselves to prayer. And we're not talking about a 20-second prayer before they shared a meal together. They're not even talking about a lengthier congregational prayer at one of their normal gatherings. We're talking about people devoted to prayer, whose every breath was dependent upon reconnecting and maintaining that connection with their risen Savior. They were devoted to prayer. And how is that devotion to prayer expressed? By joining in prayer with those in whom they were in one accord. See, and we're sitting here tonight, and men and women are sitting together, and we have prayed together, and we'll pray together again. But we need to remember that when this happened, men and women praying together, it just didn't happen. That wasn't part of their faith expressions. But this new reality supersedes all their traditions. This need to connect with God, they realized, was more important than the rules that they had imposed. They knew that the kind of prayer that they needed could only come from family, and that included everybody. So change begets change, which was difficult, flowered into something beautiful and true and strong. It was the roots of our church, the early church. When the new normal seems anything but normal, friends, that is the time when we have to find a new common commitment to prayer. It was true then, and it's still true today. Prayer is not an option. It's not the last resort. It's not the last hope. Prayer is the first best response in navigating change, of navigating change of any kind. But how do we deal with this kind of change in the church? I'm going to go back to our reading and look at verse 23. And 23 reads, as soon as I can find it, "So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias." This is an important, important truth about change in the church. Judas was a huge part of the early church team. He was passionate. He was powerful. He knew how to command attention. And he was the money holder. And we all know that whoever's holding the money holds the power. Power and money always go together. He was one of the original 12, hand chosen by Jesus himself. He was sent out on successful mission in Jesus' name, all before he fell. But despite all of that, despite all of the things that he had done as part of the community of faith, verse 23 tells us that despite that importance, he's replaceable. He is entirely replaceable. So what do we learn from that? We learn that we deal with change partly by realizing that church, that the mission of God through the church, it's bigger than we are as individuals. We are not the church. We are blessed and fortunate to be able to be a small part of the church. But it's bigger than us. It's bigger than we are as individuals. And that was a lesson I learned early from Chris. This isn't part of my notes. Something happened when we were together at First Baptist Church Thorold. And I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't happy about it at all. And I was on the board. Well, when you're not happy about something when you're on the board, what do? You have every God-given right to call the pastor at 10:30 at night and you let him know that you're not happy about that thing that happened. My brother listened to me. I heard him inhale. And he said, "Before I hang up on you," do you remember this? "Before I hang up on you, you are not the board. You are not the church. If you have a problem, you take it to the board, you take it to the church. I'll probably expect to hear from you about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning." And my brother hung up on me. And I fumed all night long. Who are you to tell me that I'm a Jesus follower? But yeah, I know you did. Who is this guy? Who is he to tell me that my concern is not the overriding concern for the church? Did he forget that I'm on the board? No, see, Chris didn't forget. Chris reminded me that those of us who are privileged to be called into positions of ministry and influence within the faith community, we have a higher expectation. We are set to a higher standard. And that's a lesson that I've not forgotten. While our personal relationship with Jesus is so very important, and guard that and nurture that and ensure that it's growing, ensure your pastor is a part of that process. But Scripture always defines relationship with Jesus in terms of community, in terms of the church. We are not individually his bride. Together, we are his bride. Together, we are his people. So perhaps, sometimes then, if it's true then that it's not just down to us, if we're not the most important thing in the life of the church, if we can be replaced, perhaps then, sometimes the changes that occur in the church, those changes that we may not be overly fond of, that we kind of wish wouldn't take place, that we kind of have our parking lot meetings about, that we kind of get the phone network going about. And we're Baptists. We know these things happen. Not exclusively to Baptists, but we know that they happen. Instead of that stuff happening, instead of that stuff being a part of our interaction, about stuff that we're not completely on board with, perhaps we need to take a step back. Perhaps we need to realize that these changes may be necessary for a new generation of believers to connect with, and hear this, the unchanging, unwavering love and grace and presence of our God. Our God never changes, but our times do. Maybe we have to make some changes. Maybe we need to be part of those changes and not be opposing them. Maturity in the Christian faith, as evidenced in this early chapter of Acts, means embracing this new reality. It means embracing change. But how can we prepare for change? We've looked at its impact. How do we prepare for it? Again, Luke gives us just a great example. So I'm looking first at verse 26, which reads, "Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles." So first, so please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we should make all our decisions by cashing our paycheck and going to the casino and betting it all there to figure out what's happening. That's not what Luke is saying. That's not the kind of gambling that's happening here. How do we prepare for change? We prepare for change holistically and completely. And this passage tells us, but we have to read the whole section well. And when we do that, it shows us that the casting of lots with regards to change was the final step, not the first step. It was the final step in a series of intentional steps, not a random leaving it to chance. So we need to go back just a few verses for the full context. And I'm starting at 24 now, which reads, "Then they prayed." What a great phrase, three words. "Then they prayed, and they prayed, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs.' Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles." To navigate change well, these verses reveal that we need to fully evaluate the situation to the very best of our ability. That fully navigating, that full exploration of these things, they never happen in the parking lot. They never happen on a one-on-one conversation with somebody else who doesn't like where the flowers are put on the altar. They never happen when you're complaining about the new song that the pastor introduced. And you will complain about the new song your pastor will introduce. It never happens there. Second, engage in earnest prayer. Those three words, that phrase, "then they prayed." Every time something comes up, let that be your response. "Then they prayed. And when they were done, then they prayed some more. And when you're done then, I don't know, pray some more. And when you're done, call up that person who wasn't at the prayer meeting and pray with them." Then they prayed. That's how you navigate change. And finally, and most importantly, we trust the direction of Jesus. In the early church culture, once they had done all three steps, they trusted that God would direct their choice. They knew that if they did this prayer work, if they fully brought their mind and their heart and their soul to these things, and then they prayed, they knew that God would give them the answer. They trusted that God would direct their choice. So the lots that were cast here, that's not a random method at all, but it was the final step of obedience and discernment. Your new pastor, Chris, is not a random choice. But for your community, it is the final step in this part of the journey, and it was a step of obedience and discernment. We face times of great change in the church, friends. You know this. If you've stepped outside of this door, you know this. I suspect. I know. I know that is part of the reason that the Lord has led Chris and Carrie and their children here to be part of this community today for such a time as this. I share that with you in full confidence. You will need to understand change to survive. We all need to understand change and how to change better to survive. How wonderful it is that our strength to navigate change, it's not down to us. It's bigger than us. Our ability to survive this time rests in a steadfast, unchanging God. My friends, may God bless you as you all faithfully follow the Lord into a new season of ministry and a new season of change and times of questioning, what have we done here in Grimsby? God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Peters, for that insight into Pastor Chris. We have found out some of the desires the Lord has for Chris here at Centennial Park Baptist Church. And they are challenging. And we know that if we want this church to unite again, we have to do some changing. And I think we're all aware of that. And I think that Chris will be a great springboard for that. He's not going to do it all. He can't do it all. But we at Centennial Park have to come alongside him and do those things. And maybe they will be out of our comfort zone. They more than likely will be. So we thank you for those words, for the the warning. Just want to give thanks to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as you formed the search committee, as they went through their mandate, Heavenly Father, as they came back with a unanimous vote for Christophanitis, and we just praise and thank you for that. We unfortunately have lost some members, but we're praying, Lord, that you will guide and direct each and every one of us, that this church will grow again, that we will have youth and elderly, and we'll be united. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this service that really gave us a good jolt, Heavenly Father. So I thank you for that. And Lord, now I'm just going to ask that if there are any friends from about, different pastors or even church members that would just like to say a few things about or to Chris at this time. Thank you.
Rene Brochu from First Baptist Church in Welland. I just got to let you know, I don't know if you know the inside story, but when Chris and Carrie found out that they were coming here to Grimsby, Chris was kind of mentioning to me, you may not remember this, Chris, but you mentioned it to me that, well, Carrie and I need to take a vacation. We need to go away before we go to Grimsby and pastor at Centennial Park Baptist. So he was out walking along Lake Ontario, and as he came across, walking on the beach, he came across a lantern, and he picked up the lantern and he rubbed it, and out came an angel. So an angel came out of the lantern, and the angel said to Chris, I'm here to give you whatever request you have, one request. And so Chris is saying, well, I'd love to take my wife to Greece, you know, but she doesn't like to take a boat. She doesn't want to take a plane. She's afraid of that. Angel, can you build me a highway from the coast of Canada across the ocean to Europe so then we can get a car and drive all the way over to Greece? And I can show her my family's background and all that. And Angel says, wait, are you crazy? You know, the logistics, the engineering, you know, it's impossible. You got to give me something else. And so Chris says, well, I'm going to pastor a church in Grimsby. I'm going to pastor a church with a bunch of Baptists. Angel, can you help me to understand Baptists? The angel said, you want a 2-lane highway or a 4-lane highway? So Chris, I also pastor a church with Baptist people, and we do need God on our side. Not angels, we need God. But on behalf of First Baptist Church in Welland, FBC Welland, we were so excited. I tell you, I remember when we found out that you were going, you and Carrie were coming back here. Christine and I were so excited to have you back in the area here. We look forward to having you on our ministerial and working together with, you know, with Peter and everybody else in the group and having you back in the swing of things. It's such a blessing to my heart because we started basically within about a year together. And so I joined my brother Brad with that too. So we're just from, trying my best. From FBC Welland, from our leadership team, we're called the Servant Leadership Team. And I like what you said, Brad, need to have a servant heart. Pastor needs to be a servant pastor. You have that heart. Carrie, you got that heart too. Your kids, I can't, they're incredibly tall and big. And just so God bless you. And if you ever need anything, just text me, call me, email me, whatever. And we're going to go for wings at the Judge and the Jester, right? All right. Okay.
Alan Heidman, I bring you greetings from Caledonia Baptist Church. And Chris, I want to say that you have come to a church that I have prayed for 18 years since I left to pursue pastoral ministry. And I just wish you all the best. And if you need someone to talk to help understand some of the people here, including... not naming any names. But this is a church where I grew up, and I've come to know this as a place and a people who their first love is the Lord Jesus, and that is why I just kept going. And so thank you, church, and may God bless you in this new journey that you're on. Embrace the change, because the time is short. The Lord Jesus is coming.
I know I already got a chance to stand up here, but this time as the pastor of First Baptist in Dunnville, we'll bring you greetings to our area. I first got to know Chris, well, at your ordination council. That's when I got to know him, and he got through that. So, of course, I was just fresh. That was, what, 15 years ago? Yeah, or around that, because... as I said, we've all been together or in and out together for 15 years or better, some of you a little longer, but I look forward to working with you, and we've had a special relationship over a time period with Grimsby at Dunnville as Chuck Quayle and such was part of the church here, and you guys were good friends to the Quayles and such. And we look forward to being able to work with this church and with, I know we can work with Chris, even with all his strangeness, we can work. I can handle him, that's the problem. I also should bring greetings on behalf of the association to the larger church body that I represent tonight. I know that you're going to be a good part of, you have been in the past, and you'll be play a part in the future in our association. So we'll welcome you here, and we... of course, are thankful for this particular church and all that it's done for the association. So God bless.
My name is Nathan Hooper. I'm from Mississauga City Baptist Church. And I've known Chris for many moons, or I got to know him many moons ago. In 1996, I took Greek with him at Tyndale. I thought I was pretty good at Greek. He had the unfair advantage of being Greek, and his marks were much better than mine, I think. But I just want to say, we spent 5 years. I got to know Chris again back in 2013. We joined them at Renforth, and he was a real encouragement to me, really prompted me and pushed me into full-time ministry. And we saw God do some amazing things at Renforth. And I just want to say, he's talking about change and growth. We knew that it was God doing the work there. There's no question about it. And so you're in good hands, because you're in God's hands. But God, Chris is somebody who's going to listen to God's voice. And if you're all joining together and doing that, God's going to work, and he'll grow here, and he'll work here. Amen? All right, greetings.
Any last words? That's great. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your words of encouragement and hope for all of us. And we're so grateful to be in Chris's hands and in God's hands. And we're just looking forward to the journey that's ahead and all that God has in store. Let's stand and celebrate together and sing with joy. In Christ alone, our hope is found. Well, we're just going to make sure we're in the right key.
I do get to do the benediction. I want to say thank you, especially to all those who came from distances and stuff to be a part of this tonight. For those who didn't know, this has always been the church I wanted to be pastor of. So I really am grateful to God that he did call me here. And I really look forward to seeing what God's going to do with us here for the next while. So there's too many to thank right now, so I'll take my chances when we get back there that you stayed behind and had a coffee, and I can give you a big hug and a thanks for being here. But a shout out to Nathan, who said kind words to me. It wasn't always easy on him, and he wasn't always easy on me, but that's what probably brought us closer together. And the same was true for Brad and many others. You know who you are. So, let me bless you, and you can bless me. To the only God who can present us pure, perfect, spotless, blameless in his almighty presence through Jesus Christ, the only Lord of this world or any world. To him be all the glory in your life, my life, this church, and every church. This day and always, amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming.